Hi guys, welcome to another episode of 10 and Tenor. Thank you again so much for joining me this week. I am very sorry for not keeping up with the weekly format. However, it has been quite difficult, so I think I'm gonna aim for monthly episodes for now. And hopefully I will not miss those, but I promise I actually have a schedule and things planned, so it's gonna get really interesting this year, I think. I hope so, at least. How are you doing? I haven't checked in with you guys in a while. I had just had dinner, and you know when you're looking forward to eating something very specific and you buy all the ingredients, and then it turns out one of the ingredients is just already moldy, so you cannot use it, and it kind of like not ruins the whole dish because, you know, it's still food and it still tastes good, but like it's not the same. So I was making burritos and I had everything ready and I was assembling my burritos and I cut the cheese package open, the shredded cheese, and I'm like sprinkling it on my first wrap and it turns out it's fucking moldy already. I just bought it yesterday. I want my money back, Aldi. What the fuck? Yeah, I hope you had better dinner than I did. But, I mean, my burritos were still good. But, you know, I wish I didn't have to throw away a whole pack of cheese that I was really looking forward to eat. I really like cheese. Anyway, not the topic of today. This week I want to talk about something. I mean, I guess I always talk about personal things, but this is very personal. And in the sense of like it's something that I apply to my own life and that I don't see a lot of people talk about or apply to their own life, so I'm guessing that's gonna be a bit not controversial, I wouldn't say that, but probably new, hopefully. I mean, I hope I can bring a new perspective to your life. So the topic of today is female exclusivity. I can't talk anymore. Female exclusivity, and what that means to me and how I apply it to my own life. And yeah, before I dive into it, I just want to point out again, I think you guys know that by now, but don't think that like my opinion is to like the one and only and it's the to go to or whatever. I personally also would never think that my point of view is the only right one. I think life is more complex than that, and my sole purpose is to like have some form of like constructive discussion on this platform, so yeah, please don't hate me after explaining myself, but do criticize if please. I'm always open to constructive criticism, so yeah, let's get started. So I kind of tried to like divide I don't know if you could hear my cat, but he was just meowing very loudly. Are you okay, buddy? Alrighty. So I kind of tried to divide the topic of female exclusivity into specific areas of my life because it does influence different areas in different ways. And those are like in female exclusivity in terms of sexuality and romantic relationships, in terms of platonic relationships, and in my personal life, like apart from those two categories, and then in terms of economy and public life. So I'm gonna start with in terms of sexuality and romantic relationships. So I think around end of 2019 is when I started to identify as a female exclusive bisexual woman, which means that I'm a bisexual woman who chooses to only date women. Even though I still experience attraction to men, I choose not to pursue that. So, not sure if you ever heard that term, but yeah, I only heard about it also last year. That's my cat again. Sorry about that. I'll wait. All right, as I was saying, I started it. Yes, I guess personally identifying as female exclusive. However, I don't really say that when I meet people unless it becomes a topic, like my dating life becomes a topic of discussion. And there he is again. He's very vocal today. I'm very sorry. And a lot of people are confused by that, that I identify as female exclusive bisexual. I often get the question, like, so are you a lesbian? Or then why don't you just identify as a lesbian? Well, it's simple. It's because I'm not a lesbian. I do experience attraction to men, unfortunately. Just kidding. No, but I just choose to focus on my attraction to women, and because I think there's multiple reasons, basically, but at the end of the day, for me, it's more fulfilling and beneficial to be with a woman than with a man. The reason I started, like, I made this conscious choice of not dating men anymore was because, as I said, there's multiple reasons. Like, one of them was that I really want my partner to understand me, and I had been in long-term relationships with men before, and there's always that level, like there's just this barrier, like they will not understand my position within the world, or when I'm complaining about everyday things that all women understand because it happens to them all the time as well. But men just don't, like, they don't see it as a big deal, or they don't really get why it upsets you so much, or these things. And I'm not saying a partner cannot be understanding, of course, they can be. But there is still, like, they will never fully comprehend my position as a woman within society. So that was one of the reasons. It's also one of the reasons that I mostly feel more attracted to, like, it's the same with ethnicity for me, right? Like, I prefer dating within my ethnicity just because I feel more understood by my partner. I was dating this German white boy, like, for 3 years, and he called my culture weird in many different ways, and I didn't appreciate that. So, which, you know, to be fair, we were teenagers and we were living in a very white city, and you know, everyone learns, I guess, but it's just, I don't want to explain my culture to you, and neither do I want to explain my existence as a woman to you within the patriarchal society I live in. So, yeah, it's that's basically one of the main reasons. The other one is I want to push back on compulsory heterosexuality. If you're not familiar with the term compulsory comped or compulsory heterosexuality, it was, I think, even coined by Adrienne Rich. She wrote this amazing essay called Compulsory Heterosexuality and Lesbian Existence. I recommend everyone reading, everyone, like, not only bisexuals or sapphics or lesbians or whatever, like, everyone should read that essay because it's absolutely brilliant. I love it a lot. And basically, what compat means, or compulsory heterosexuality means, is this concept that women are not only imprisoned by the patriarchy and the misogynistic systems within, but also they're imprisoned by and oppressed by compulsory heterosexuality, meaning that their role in relationships is predetermined. They're supposed to be naturally, like, quote unquote, naturally attracted to men, serve men, nurture men, and be like the perfect partner to them. So that's why, like, Adrienne Rich basically argues that when she wrote that essay, that feminists weren't including lesbian resistance enough into these texts, and they weren't critically analyzing heterosexuality as part of patriarchal imprisonment. Or at least that's how I interpret her text. Please feel free to correct me on this, but I kind of saw the power structure that she was describing within the text within heterosexuality. So for me, wanting to defy that partly because I have very feminist views, but also because bisexual women or sapphic women, like including lesbian women, often deny themselves that same-sex attraction experience because of these heteronormative standards. And I wanted to encourage myself and other women to pursue those same-sex attractions because, yeah, as Adrienne Rich said, heterosexuality is part of the system that confines women into a specific role and a specific status within society. And it's one of the reasons why bisexual women and lesbians take so long to understand their own sexuality because, if you are not, if you're not attracted to men, then what are you doing? I mean, for bisexual women, it takes a, for me, for example, it took so long to realize that I am bisexual because I was attracted to men and I was attracted to women, but my attraction to women, I always wrote it off as something else, not as sexual attraction, And I have many lesbian friends who only realize much later in life that they are lesbians because yeah, they were like not really interested in men, but they thought like maybe I wasn't the right person, or like maybe I am, one of my friends once said, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, quoting her here, but she said like for her it was more likely back then. In her head, it made more sense that she was asexual than she was a lesbian, even though she is a lesbian, and she identifies as one now, because lesbian is just so removed from what we understand, quote unquote, like as normal for women to be attracted to. That yeah, it takes us some time. So basically, yeah, I wanted to encourage myself because also when I was younger, I used to say like. Like, okay, now I know I'm bisexual, but I can never pursue a woman because my family will not agree. And, like, for me, having a relationship is always like, for me, when I pursue a relationship, it means that I want to have a long-term future, and with that person. And I was like, well, that's not possible with a woman because my family will never accept it. And, I want my family to be part of my life and all of these things. And now, since 2 years, I've been like kind of reversing that. I was like, no, like I want to, be in a same-sex relationship because I want my partner to understand me, and I'm allowed to explore that part of my identity as well. Like I shouldn't feel guilty for doing it. And I think because of internalized homophobia, we hold ourselves back in that aspect. So yeah, I wanted to fight that within myself and also my surroundings. I try to encourage people, like my bisexual friends, to be like, hey, maybe, maybe try, go ask out that cute girl from the coffee shop. Like, you should do it, And then the last thing is, I kind of already mentioned that, but the last reason is kind of my feminist point of view on this. Like, the role of women in heterosexual relationships is already predetermined. It's pretty clearly laid out, and I like don't really vibe with that. And I know obviously that not all relationships dynamics are the same, and like if you find the right partner and blah blah blah, like these things can be avoided. However, looking further than that, because even if I assume I find like a male partner who is very understanding and who has educated himself and who is trying to, he makes an active effort to fight patriarchal systems within the relationship as well, even then, we do not live in a vacuum. And so automatically, the man in the relationship has assumed and explicit rights over the woman, and which automatically implies power imbalance between the two partners. And yeah, I don't really vibe with that either. Like I know laws changed a lot, but it's it's like you can't really win. Like I always said that even if I had a male partner, I wouldn't really ever marry him because they just get so many rights over women. Like it's crazy. And I said I had this example before, but in Turkey, like for example, you cannot get an abortion as a wife, like your unless your husband agrees. There's also things like, and when I say assumed rights, I mean like, for example, if you go to a house viewing and the guy just addresses your male partner instead of you, or like they, you know, they ignore you and they don't take you as seriously, and it's like exhausting. And yes, maybe they will not take me seriously if I'm not with a man. I mean, the probability is very high, but at least I don't feel like my relationship is infested with these patriarchal structures. You know what I mean? I hope you know what I mean. And then, actually, this is my last point, is I don't like the last reason why I chose being female exclusive is of my personal sexual and emotional experiences with men. Like I always say this last because I don't want people to think like, oh, she has been scarred and this is why she doesn't want to be with men. Like, yes, I have been scarred by men, but that's not the only, I mean, which is also a valid reason to not want to be involved with men. Don't get me wrong, but I, you know, there's a lot of stigmatization within that, and you know, the image of the hysteric woman that's like, oh, like just because one guy treated you wrong doesn't mean all men are going to treat you badly and blah blah blah, completely ignoring the fact that it's a systematic issue in the sense of not only violence but also how men talk about women, how men treat women on a daily basis. But personally, I just didn't have good emotional experiences with men and also bad sexual experiences. If you have listened to my previous episodes, you will know. But I don't know, I don't like men touching me. Like it has become uncomfortable to the, like, just because I often had the feeling, like even when I was in a loving relationship, that oftentimes men see me as a vessel, which they can jerk into and then is done. You know, like it doesn't really matter that I'm there and that I'm this person and this human being who has their own thoughts and their own emotions and, you know, their own feelings and pleasures and whatnot. So, yeah, just I'm kind of tired of that. And like, yeah, why not date women, you know? Yeah, that's kind of the first part of it. Then the second over category was, yeah, platonic relationships. So once I kind of went started this trip on female exclusivity, oh my God. It started with the romantic relationships, but it pretty quickly spread out through all the other parts of my life, including my platonic relationships, meaning friends, family, acquaintances, whatever. And I have started to surround myself with more and more with women and less with men. And honestly, like, I feel much happier, more supported, I feel safer, I feel more understood and more taken care of, and also more loved, really. Like, I only have, I think it's very funny because I think beginning of uni, I had like mostly male friends, and I always felt very insecure and bad and kind of shy, and I didn't really want to voice my opinion that much. And then later, I kind of changed and I started dropping male friends because my tolerance for bullshit kind of went down. And which is also another point, like, I feel like we tolerate men too much and we're much harsher to critique the women in our lives. And I try to kind of reverse that. So, which led to me cutting out a lot of men of my life because I was like, well, you were kind of fucked up, and I don't know why I tolerated this for so long, but goodbye. And honestly, it made a huge change in my character and in my life. Like, I've become like 1,000% more confident. I started loving myself and the people around me so much more and more openly. And yeah, just as I said, I felt safer and much happier than before. And I think it's also like I tried to refocus my energy on these female relationships. Which, I know some people, when I tell them this, they're like, oh, that's so sad. Like, you shouldn't have to build. But no. I know which friendships make me happy and which don't. And why do I have to explain myself on that? Like, it's my life, and I'm already exhausted of men most of the time. Like, just in day-to-day interactions, like, I don't need to add the. There was this guy I knew once. He is a filmmaker, and he wanted to. So the first time I had a buzz cut, he wanted to do a project with me, and basically it was like a poem with a video, And the poem was basically equaling cutting your hair with harming yourself. And I was like, that is pretty fucked up, my dude. Like, you're like, this is stigmatization of both mental health issues and, just women doing their own thing. And he wouldn't understand. And I was like, what the hell? Like, and I, for real, even to this day, sometimes I will spend hours explaining the most, minuscule problem to men because they just don't get, they don't get it. And it's just like, why? And I'm not here. I'm not your mom. I'm not here to educate you. You know what I mean? Like, no. I'm tired. Like, I am almost 25 and I'm already tired. Like, I can't. So I only have like two male friends now, like, that are really close to me. And that's mostly because they actually, first of all, they tolerate my misandrist self, which is a bare minimum at this point for me to be like, it's required in a friendship. I don't think if you're not okay with that, we can't be friends because I talk about my misandrosty is a lot. Oh, whoops. And I know that's not easy to hear, but I really appreciate that they do stick through it. And I feel genuinely supported by them, and I care for them, and I feel like they care for me. So yeah, but otherwise I have cut out a lot of men of my life, and I don't really seek new relationships with men. Like, it's like in any form, romantic or platonic, And then some people ask, what about the men in your family? Well, I kind of have to interact with them. And I don't get me wrong, I love my brother and I love my father and I love my uncle. But if I could make all men, if someone would give me a button that would erase all men, like all men in the world, like I would press it. Like, I'm sorry. I love them and I will miss them, but if that means I can go outside of my house without having to worry someone like looking me up and down, someone grabbing me, someone harassing me in any other way, or assaulting me, or assaulting any other women in the whole world, I take the deal, my guy. I'm sorry to say that, but and it was so funny because one time actually my cousin and I talked about this because he got in a Facebook feud with someone about a book, about a French book that apparently said, like, don't focus on men, which is, I think, by what's her name, Alice Coffin, I think that was the book. He didn't say, but I think it's her. And he was like saying, like, oh, isn't that a bit extreme to like not interact with men at all, and like da da da. And I was like, oh, you called the wrong bitch. Like, I literally tell women all the time to not like interact with men because it's just not worth it. And I try to explain to him, like literally every second of my day that I don't spend in my own four walls. And even then, sometimes, like when like, you know, when the handyman come over, or like, you know, when the landlord comes over, like, even then I don't feel safe. And it's not like just in my head, you know. Actually happens all the time. Like, as soon as I leave my house, as soon as I am in a space with a man, it's like, so when will he start like making a move? Literally, when I was moving into the apartment, there was still like two handymen working on something, and at some point, like, I was in my fucking PJs, and this man comes to me and he's like trying to make conversation, and like, but like, not like friendly banter, yeah, like, it was clearly like not appropriate, you know what I mean, like, no. And like, you're just, anyway, I'm just so tired. And this is also literally like, I know erasing all men from the world is a bit of a far-fetched wish, because at the end of the day, they do make up half of the population and we do have to live together. But this is why my biggest dream is to like have an all women's farm, a self-sustaining all women's farm somewhere like outside of civilization, and just we have our own crops and we figured out a water filtering system and like electricity somehow, or even like electricity, you don't really, no, I guess you wouldn't really need it if we have gas to cook and like candles for the night, whatever. But yeah, and our own livestock, and then like that's it. That's all we do. That's my biggest dream, literally. I have told multiple women, like, please come join my farm once we are like, you know, old enough to buy a farm, like a piece of land. And it's like, it's the reason why, and that's also what I try to like make my cousin understand, is that like there's no safe spaces for women within the public. And so we constantly, as we are quoting my own personal hero, Dana Ash, we have to make our own safe spaces all the time. Like, it's exhausting, but it's the only way that, or at least for me, that's how I feel, like it's the only way for me to feel valid in a space and without being objectified and, you know, valued also in that space, you know what I mean, as a human, and you know, with her own thoughts and agency and emotions and feelings and whatnot. The reason, which is also why I had started like a women's meetup group called Menstrual Meetup. Yeah, which it was so nice, but then COVID happened and we couldn't really meet. Like, so we only met like once, I think, in person, and then one or two times online to have like a drawing session. It was still super nice though. Like, I felt supported, and I think, and seen, you know? And so that's why I encourage women to like create more only women's spaces. It's also a form of self-preservation at this point, I think, because again, as I said, like we have to interact with men, and we cannot stop men from being gross to us. So minimizing contact for me is a form of self-preservation. What did I say? Oh yeah, another thing is, last thing that I'm gonna say for public spaces is, women only exist in relation to men most of the time. Like, as in the way that they're represented in public spaces, the way that they move through public spaces, is they are only perceived in context to men. In pop culture representation, in be it movies, film, books, whatever. And it's really annoying, because I am my own person with my own identity and autonomy, and so it's kind of freeing, and it's like I can take like a proper breath when I'm just surrounded by women, and it's kind of nice. Like, it's very nice. I enjoy it a lot. So yeah, I can only recommend creating those spaces for yourself as well. Okay, I kind of talked about the platonic relationships and personal reasons together, so I'm gonna jump immediately to the last point, which was in the social and economic life. This is something I'm still learning about, but I think it was Lisa Lux, who's a poet, who's amazing. You should check her out on Instagram as well. She was talking about the feminist economy, which basically, focuses on the gender imbalances within current capitalistic systems and how they disfavor women. And I think it was Adrienne Rich as well who said, under capitalism, women are horizontally segregated by gender and occupy a structurally inferior position in the workplace, meaning women just don't make that shmoney, that same shmoney that men make. And if we keep working within the capitalist system that is currently in place, that is run by the patriarchy, women are never going to be economically successful. And the feminist economy, therefore, focuses on supporting women and, women-owned businesses, and all of these things. As far as I understand, again, I'm learning about this, but yeah. And I think that's a very, very interesting point to make because that is where I'm trying to go. This is like the economy part of it is the one that I'm weakest on, I think. Still, because I don't know how I can do that the best way. I mean, obviously, like I try to only buy from women, only support women's businesses and stuff, but it's really hard, like because sometimes like yeah, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find, or because there's so few opportunities for women, there's just no women producing the good that you need, or like also, for example, like buying groceries. Like, I don't have the money to just go to, the independent grocery store because I'm a student with an internship that doesn't pay shit. So, yeah, this is something I'm still working on and I'm still learning about, but I think that's a very interesting thought to think about, but just because, wow, that was such a nice thought to think about. Wow. Anyway, it's a good thing to reflect on because it is true that women over time, even though they have joined, like it was one of the things also I mentioned in one of the feminist episodes, like the illusion of being an equal because, they were quote unquote integrated into the economy by, giving them the right to work and earn money, but at the end of the day, it is an illusion because, yeah, women make most of the time not as much as men, and they're underappreciated, underpaid, just as in any other application. I mean, it's the same with arts. It's the same with any other, like how many female physicians do you know? How many female chemists do you know? How many female writers do you know? Like, painters, photographers, it's women always have to work like three times as hard to get to the level of men. And if we can support each other by, investing in each other, also in an economic, not only in an emotional way, but also in an economic way, we can, we are shifting our overall position within society. That's basically, the goal. But again, it's very hard to get there. I'm trying. If you have any good tips on that, please let me know. And the last thing I wanted to mention is if you read French, I think this is a really good book to actually check out. It's the one that I was mentioning the one that my cousin got in a Facebook feud about. It's called The Lesbian Genius by Alice Coffin. And she got under a lot of attack because she basically said what I said. She said, I'm trying not to engage with men in my life, trying to kind of focus on the women in my life. And also like women historically and like in because she's a writer also like specifically in the arts. And there's this very famous like there's this one quote in her book that keeps getting quoted in which she got under fire about it. And it goes, it is not enough to help one another. We have to erase men from our minds, from our pictures, from our representations. I no longer read books by men. I don't watch their movies. I don't listen to their music. At least I try not to. Men have already infested my mind. I'm preserving myself by avoiding them. Let's begin like that. Later, they will be able to return. And I think this is super important because she makes the perfect, like, she has condensed what I have said in like the last 30 minutes in like just a few sentences. Like when she says, men have, like, we have to erase them from our representations. This is what I mean when I say women only exist, like, they're represented or exist only in relation to men, for example, right? Like, Frida Kahlo cannot just be Frida Kahlo. She also has to be the lover of. See, I forgot his name already. Great, it's working. Diego, what was his last name? Anyway, you know him. It's just like, it's the same with Marie Curie. Like, I, and it's never the other way around. Like, Fitzgerald, for example, like, if I learn about the writer Fitzgerald, even though it is known that his wife was also a writer, I don't even know her name. And it is like, we also know that she probably wrote part of his texts. So it's crazy to me that when there's a famous woman, like, you will always hear about the men in their life as well. But when there's a man and the woman is also involved in their work, like literally in their work, we will never know anything about them. So I think she makes a really good point there. And when she says, men have already infested my mind and I'm preserving myself by avoiding them. Again, I think for her, it's like really important to, unlearn all of these. Also, giving the title lesbian genius is unlearning the fact that men are the quote unquote standard, because they're not, like, they're not. And I think she explained that, like, she called it the lesbian genius because genius is like, the word genius is mostly related to men, and she's trying to make the point that there was also women who were, influential and had a lot of, contributed a lot to arts and history, and other areas of life. And when she was interviewing for one magazine, I forgot which one, they asked her about this quote basically, and she responded, "It is not that I'm eliminating all men. It's just that I know their books, I know their music, and I know so little about women's literature, women's cinema. This is an attempt to get access to other kinds of thinking." And I want to close here because I think that's a great way to go, to end the episode. It's not about, it's not about erasing whatever men have done. It's about reshifting your focus to have a more, a female outlook on life and the way that the world works and what women have contributed to the world, and because that can be extremely empowering and it can feel great to see people like you and me, like, doing the things that they want to do. So yeah, I don't really know how to end this, but I hope I could bring a new perspective to your life. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Both is fine. Let me know what you think. I would really like to know how you feel about the term, also female exclusivity. Yeah. How you feel about my current point of view. And yes, as I said, like, please take everything with a grain of salt. Like, my opinion is not the ultimate opinion, and I wouldn't want it to be either. I'm also learning and changing, and yeah, please let me know. And I wish you a very nice end of the week and a good start into the week. And sending lots of good energy your way. Please don't forget to drink water. Please continue wearing your mask and being careful. The pandemic is not over. And yes, sending much love your way. See you next, hope maybe next week, but probably next month. Bye.